telling the same thing all the way through. It's telling about Peter, the vision he's seen, what's going on. Cornelius is on the scene. So tonight, what I want to do is I want to read Acts chapter number 10, the first two verses. Then I want to go to verse number 34 through 44, and I want to show you tonight, Cornelius was a devoted man. He was a devout man that feared God, but he was a lost man. He was a devout man that feared God, but he was a lost man. The Bible says, because at this point, the salvation hadn't come to the Gentiles yet. When you get into Acts chapter number 2, salvation had come to the Jews only at that moment. Salvation had come to the Jews. You get to Acts chapter number 8, and we see it comes to Samaria, comes to the Samaritans. Samaritans would be a half-breed. It'd be half Jew, it'd be half Gentile. 10 years later, after the day of Pentecost, after the Bible, after Acts chapter number 2, you're going to see where it comes to the Gentile nation in Acts chapter number 10. And this is where Cornelius, here he is being a Gentile, and salvation has come. Tonight, I want you to know, I thank God that he is no respecter of persons. Can I get an amen? So tonight, I want you to know a very pivotal moment in our life is Acts chapter number 10, when salvation came to the Gentiles. You and I are a part of the Gentile nation. You and I are not are part of that tonight. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. And as we come tonight and we study that, that's going to be a key part tonight in this text and what Peter preached unto Cornelius, when you get here, you know in the chapter number 8, he's talking to the Ethiopian eunuch and he's preaching the gospel there. Chapter number 9, you come and you got Saul and they're preaching the gospel there. But when you get here to chapter number 10, we have a Gentile that receives salvation. And you know what Peter asked him? He said, men and brethren, well, what are we going to do? Can we forbid baptism? And they said, no, we see the Spirit of God's on them. And tonight, I thank God that God did not come just to save the Jews, but he's come to save each and every person that'll call on the name of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Tonight, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter number 10. We will read the first two verses and then go to verse 34. Peter preaching Jesus to Cornelius. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. In verse 34, the Bible says, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Woo! But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which had heard the word. Father, we love you and we thank you tonight. I thank you tonight that salvation, Father God, in Acts chapter number 2 just didn't stop with the Jews, but Father God, it come all the way down to the Gentiles. I thank you tonight, Father God, that your word is for whosoever will. Father God, it's not for a select group. It's not for the one that's been chosen to go to heaven, but Father God, whosoever shall call upon your name shall be saved. And Father, I thank you tonight that Cornelius, he listened to that word and he accepted that word and the Holy Ghost fell on him. And Lord, I pray tonight, if they wouldn't be lost, that the Holy Spirit of heaven would convict their heart. For the one that's been saved tonight, that may be in a dark, desperate place, that they just be thankful tonight that they got air in their lungs, that they're saved and their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, I love you and I thank you. I ask you to lead, guide, and direct. And I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. Be with all the prayer requests, all the ones that on the unspoken, Lord, tonight. All the ones, the babies that's going to have surgeries. Father, the ones that's come home with cancer. Lord, the ones that are battling cancer. Be with them tonight. Touch their bodies in a mighty way. Be with us as we go through this service. And I'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come to Acts chapter number 10, it opens with Cornelius being a devout man, a man that feared God. Cornelius, I want you to say this again, he was a Gentile and the door of faith was open to the Gentile nation in chapter number 10. You know what he did in chapter number 10? It said that an angel came to him and he said, you go find Peter. You go to where Peter is. You know what? That angel could not tell him about the grace of God and about the plan of salvation. Hey, because there's not an angel ever experienced the grace of God. They've never experienced what it is to be born again. They are created beings and they don't know what the grace of God is. Hey, you know what? Tonight God uses men and women, hey, to tell people about the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you've never experienced it, you don't know much about it. Hey, but tonight I want you to know Peter, he preached the gospel to Cornelius. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't play with it. He just preached the gospel. I don't know about you tonight, but I love preaching. Man, I love preachers. I love preachers that preach. I love hearing preachers, and I love seeing the Word of God be opened up and expounded on. I don't want a man's opinion. Give me, thus saith the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Hey, everybody in this room's got an opinion what they think the Bible might say. Hey, but tell me what the Bible does say. And tonight as we come, I want to give you some things that was happening here when he preached the Word of God. Number one, if you'll look with me tonight in verse number 36, Peter preached the peace of Jesus Christ. When he came and he preached the Bible and he preached unto Cornelius there, he preached the peace of Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse 36, the words which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Anybody that's ever been born again, anybody that's ever been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, at the moment of your conversion, at the moment that you're born again, there's a peace that comes over you that passes all the understanding. The Bible says tonight, he said, that he came preaching a peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord all over all. Hey, tonight if he'd have come to Cornelius and he would have said, only the Jews can be saved, what kind of peace would that give? If somebody walks in this room and they're lost and going to hell and you tell them only certain people can be saved, hey, what kind of peace would they get out of that? Hey, I thank God tonight that the gospel tonight is a whosoever will, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know about you tonight, but that brings peace to my heart. And tonight I want you to know, number one, that peace that Jesus gives you, it is a perfect peace tonight. It's not a chaotic peace. It's a perfect peace tonight. If you don't have any peace in your life tonight, you make sure that Jesus is in your life. Can I get an amen? Hey, look with me tonight, if you will, to Isaiah 26 in verse number 3 tonight. We're talking about that peace of Jesus Christ. I thank God tonight for that peace that passes all understanding. But look with me tonight at Isaiah chapter number 26 and verse number 3 tonight, talking about a perfect peace that is in our life. Hey, there's storms going on all around us. I'm talking about physical storms. And you see the meteorologists, they're telling there's no peace and the world, the storms are coming. Friends, I want you to know tonight there is peace in Jesus Christ tonight. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 26 in verse number 3, you say, preacher, how can it be perfect peace? Hey, because that peace doesn't come from me. That peace comes from God. The Bible says tonight, thou will keep him in perfect peace. He keeps us in that perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. When you put your mind in Christ Jesus and you put your heart where it needs to be tonight and you think on the things of God, he'll bring perfect peace to your life tonight. As the brother talked about his daddy back there that had all the fractures tonight. I didn't see a man sitting back there that's worried. I didn't see a man sitting back there that is fretting and rubbing his hands. I seen a man that come before the throne room of God tonight, hey, with a perfect peace tonight, knowing that if he takes it to God tonight and he asks God to move, that God will fix any problem that is in his family's life. Friends, I want you to know when he come talking to Cornelius, he come preaching peace in the name of Jesus. Look what the Bible says. It ain't only a perfect peace. Hey, but can I say to you tonight, when he said that he is the Lord over all, not only is it a perfect peace, but it is a provided peace. That peace comes from Jesus and Jesus alone. Look with me, if you will, to Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 12. I told you when we started that salvation now has come to the Gentiles, and now they can have perfect peace. Now they can be where God would have them to be. They can be saved, and there's a perfect peace, but it is a provided peace. And look with me, if you will, to Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 12. I thank God for this peace, don't you? I thank God for a peace that passeth all understanding. You can ask my wife, I'll kick my head back on that pillow and I'll sleep like ain't nothing going on, ain't nothing wrong. You said, preacher, do you have problems? You bet your bottom dollar. Hey, I got problems at home. Hey, but there's one problem I ain't got. I know when I leave this walk of life, heaven's my home, because I put my faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 12, look what the Bible says. We're talking about that he is no respecter of people. He's Lord over all. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Friends, tonight I want you to know, black, white, it don't matter. Rich or poor, it don't matter. Drug addict or never done drugs. Alcoholic or never drug. Fornicator or never fornicated. Adulteress or never been an adulteress. It don't matter tonight. It's equal at the foot of the cross. He said there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. He's the same Lord over all that calls upon him. Look what he said. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. Hey, tonight, ain't you glad that you can call on the name of the Lord and he'll give you perfect peace tonight? Because he provides the peace. But let me give you a third thing tonight I see with the peace that he was preaching. Number one, I see Peter preached a perfect peace because he knew what it was to be in a storm. Peter knew what it was to be in a storm. He knew what it was to deny Jesus and then get perfect peace. He knows what it is to deny Jesus and get a provided peace. But he knows what it is to deny Jesus and know his peace is purchased not by Peter, but by Jesus. Look with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 20. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 20 tonight. I want to show you this in the text. He said it's a purchased peace tonight. That peace that we get when we preach Christ Jesus. Man, tonight it's perfect, it's provided, and it's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And look what he says tonight in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 20 tonight. It's that perfect peace tonight that we have because it's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. But what he says in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Who did he make peace with? He made peace with God. When he hung and died on the old rugged cross and his blood was shed on Calvary for you and I told Hagen and Natalie a while ago when we was getting ready with marriage stuff back there, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. And the Bible never said, for God so had faith that he loved the world. It never said, for God so hoped that he loved the world. But it said, for God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved, love will always win out. And here when he gets here, it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, tonight we have a purchased peace by the blood of Jesus Christ. When he went preaching to Cornelius, even though he was a Gentile, he went preach, number one, the peace of Jesus Christ. But look with me in verse 38, not only did he preach the peace of Jesus Christ, but Peter preached the power of Jesus Christ. He preached what kind of power Jesus had. Look what he said in verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Here it is. How he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He was anointed with that power. He had that power all over his life. He said, preacher, what kind of power did he have tonight? What kind of powers did Jesus really have? Hey, when he died on that cross and he was buried in that tomb, Brother Rodney, and he was rose again on the third day, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Has he lost any of that power? Did he have to give any back? Did he have to release? No, he ain't gave none back. He still got that same power, amen? That same power. Man, I want you to know it can get loose in this church. That same power will get loose in your life. You say, what kind of power does he got, preacher? Number one tonight, he's got power that saves a person. The power of Jesus Christ, you can't be saved no other way but by Jesus Christ. But a power that he has, there's power in the name of Jesus. They'll let you talk about God all you want to talk. You can go anywhere you want to and bring up God, and they ain't going to be mad. You can say God anywhere you want to. You can even take it in vain. And most Christians won't even get mad. You don't believe me? Watch your TV. You won't even turn it. You won't even turn it. You won't even confront it when you hear it in public. He said, preacher, what you going to do? I got to stand on it, amen? I cannot, there's some things I cannot overlook. There's some things I can't overlook. You know what Peter said here? He said, I want you to know he's got power. He's got power to save in his name. In the name of Jesus Christ, there is power. And I want you to know you can use the name of God anywhere you go and nobody gets offended. But when you use the name of Jesus Christ, they know what kind of God you're talking about. They know the God you're talking about. They know who you're standing on. They know who has saved your life. And they know who he is. And I want you to know people are offended by it. When they get here, if you don't believe that, they got mad at Peter for going in to the ones that hadn't been circumcised. And you know what they said? They said, what are you going in and eat with them for? You know that sin, that's wrong. That's religion. They was mad at him. These people are getting saved and they're getting mad. That when people get saved, people gets mad. When people get saved, people gets mad. That ain't where they need to be with God. You let somebody be in right standings with God, they love it when somebody gets saved. Amen? Let me show you this. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. Let me show you this. That he said that he had the power. That power to save was in Jesus' name. It wasn't the Pharisees. It wasn't the Sadducees. And it was nothing to do with any of them. And it made them mad. Tonight, can I say to you, there'd be a lot of preachers in the world we live in get mad because it ain't about them, but it's about Jesus. What? Watch your TV sometimes. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. I'm just saying, amen. It's kind of like talking about bald-headed people. I can talk about them because I'm bald-headed. You understand what I'm talking about? Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. Let me show you this tonight. I'm talking about their salvation. The power saves a person in his name. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. Look at this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, what? The Lord Jesus. If you're saved, you didn't do nothing no different. Well, now, preacher, No. If you're saved, you didn't do no different. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead. Read this with me. Thou shalt. When that Holy Spirit puts conviction on your life, when that peace comes on you and you know that Holy Spirit, when Cornelius had that on him, I want you to know not only was there a peace he was talking about, but he was talking about a power telling him he could be saved, he could be changed, he could be converted, he could get to where he needed to be with God. His alms and his prayers wouldn't have done him a bit of good. He needed a relationship with Christ Jesus. I say to you as your pastor, you can give all you got, and it won't do you a bit of good if you've not gave your heart to God. He says tonight, look at this. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. I see tonight Peter preached the power of Jesus. Number one, the power saves a person. I see number two, the power of Jesus supplies a person. Philippians 4:19, turn with me there if you will. It will supply a person in their walk for Christ Jesus. It'll supply them all the days long. It'll supply you in your life the name of Jesus Christ. You rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus, not in your name. If you're doing it in anything besides the name of Jesus, he's not going to flee from you. I see by the power it saves a person, but by the power it'll supply a person. It'll supply. Look what he says in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My salvation's in Christ Jesus. My supply store is in Christ Jesus. What I need comes through him. Now, the avenue he uses to get it to me, he can use any avenue he wants. But I believe when it comes my way, it come through him. Every need that's been met in my life all the way through, it come through him. I'm not supposed to get out of prison until this year. That ain't because I had a good lawyer. If he'd have been a good lawyer, he'd say, you don't owe me a penny instead of cost me $10,000. Can I get a witness? I see some people laughing. They've been with me before. They don't understand what I'm talking about. You say, well, why are you standing here? Why didn't you have to spend your whole time? Because he supplies my need. He saved my soul. Now listen, just because I'm saved, just because I was saved, didn't mean I wouldn't have to do the law of the land. Just because I'm saved don't mean everything's been forgiven here on this walk and everything's just good and everybody's supposed to bow down to me. No. I still had a judge. I still had a lawyer. I still had court. I still had things that went on. But instead of going in worried about it, I went in with my head up. And they couldn't understand it. Before, I didn't want a drug test. Before, I didn't want to go see them. Before, I didn't want to do. And now I walk in and they're like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, y'all not going to drug test me? You know how many of them I missed and backed out on and wouldn't do? Sister Lynetta, can I get an amen? She works in that department. They skip out. But let me tell you, when you get right with God, you don't want to skip out no more. When he saves your soul, you know he's going to supply your need. And man, I finally got to that place. I said, man, not only has he saved my soul. Y'all, I'm telling y'all, I don't live it. I don't. I try my best, but I come up short so many times. Not only he saved my soul, not only he supplied my need, but he gave me the strength that I need to walk every day of my life. Every day. Every day I get up, I choose to follow Jesus Christ. Every day I get up. Every day I get out of that bed, I choose it. Why? Because of that gospel that come to my life. It come as peace and it come as power. Let me show you the strength that he gives us. It come to me as peace and it come to me as power. Look what he says here. He gives me the strength. Hebrews 13:5. I always want to give you Bible. Hebrews 13:5. I want to show you this tonight. I'm talking about he gives me strength to do what I need to do. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. He gives me strength in what I need to do. He said, preacher, are you sure about that tonight? Man, I am dead sure about that. He preached the power of Jesus to Cornelius. He was a Gentile. He said, he'll give you salvation. He'll supply you and he'll strengthen you. Look at Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee. That's my strength. That's my strength tonight. But he'll also sustain you. 1 Peter 1:5, you can write that down. 1 Peter 1:5, he'll also sustain you tonight. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let me give you the last point and we'll go to the house. I see number one tonight, Peter preached peace of Jesus Christ. He preached peace like never before. I see number two, he preached the power of Jesus Christ and what Jesus could do in your life, the power that he has over a person, how he can let that power reign in your life, how you can let that power do what you've never seen it do before. But I see something else. Peter preached the promise of Jesus Christ. When you have that peace and that power comes on you, I can't explain. I cannot do a good job explaining. When that peace comes over you of that gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he indwells you and he fills you with that power to overcome some things in this world, you'll rely on his promise more than you ever have. Look what he says here with me, if you will, in verse 43. Peter preached the promise of Jesus Christ. Here's the promise. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, there's Jesus, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. You shall receive the remissions of sins. As we're in Easter week, and today's Passover, we're going on into Good Friday, Easter Sunday, come Sunday, and we get to this place in our life, this ought to be one of the most exciting times in our life. You said, preacher, why? How do I have that promise? You have that promise tonight, not on the way that you act or the way that you live or what you do, but you have that promise starting in verse number 39 of the text. And when Peter preached Jesus, and anytime you preach Jesus and you preach his peace and you preach his power and his promises, you've got to preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news that somebody loved me and somebody loved you enough that they lay down their life for you. Look what he says in verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. He said, you can count on this promise because they slew him and they hung him on a tree. They hung him in open shame for for your sin and my sin. He died for you and he died for me. You, the promise of his death, but in verse 40, when Peter preached it, he preached his burial. He preached, when he preached that peace and that promise, look here, he said in verse number 40, he preached the burial. Him, God raised up the third day. Who? Jesus. All the way through here, he's talking to this Gentile. He's talking to him about Jesus. What do we do here at this church? Who do we lift up? Jesus. All the way through, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Look in verse 40. The promise of his burial, but the promise of his resurrection. Whom God raised up, there's the death, the burial, he raised him up. But on the third day, there's his resurrection. On the third day, and showed him openly. And then in verse 43, the promise of his death, the promise of his burial, the promise of his resurrection, but the promise of his forgiveness to whosoever shall call upon his name. In verse 43, to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. They were astonished. Listen to me. Peter is preaching to this Gentile. Peter is preaching to somebody that's not supposed to be able to be saved according to them. He was an outcast. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, I don't know if they can be saved or not. You're looking at them the same way they're looking at this guy. The gospel can reach whoever if they will allow it to reach their heart. As they looked, they were astonished at these guys that was in this shape. How can this be? They were Gentiles. They were not part of us. They didn't have it. They didn't have it. They didn't have church lingo. They didn't have it. How can this be that it falls on them? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And they then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Can anybody forbid them being baptized? Peter said, boys, y'all tell me. Look at verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Tonight he preached the peace of Jesus. I pray tonight as your pastor, you got the peace that passes all understanding. I've heard Brother Eric talk about it in his life where he did, at times he didn't have that peace, but now he's got a peace that passes all understanding. When the world's in chaos, you got peace. Yeah, troubles come, but man, a peace that passes everything. I hope you have the power of Jesus on your life. And I pray you know the promise of Jesus on your life. I want to turn somewhere tonight. We're talking about how he preached there, and he asked them, can anybody forbid it? Can anybody forbid these from being baptized? I heard a story this week, and man, it just touched my heart. Said that in 1800s, Andrew Jackson, who would soon be the president, said he was going through, he went through New Orleans, went through, and said that Brother Cartwright was going to be preaching that night at a revival. And said it was at a big coliseum. And said when he walked into that coliseum, they said he just walked in. Andrew Jackson did, and the seats was full. Everybody come to listen to that man preach. And the seats was slap full, I mean everywhere. And said when he walked in, at that time he wasn't president, but he was standing at the back. And when he walked in, he just propped up against the wall because there was nowhere to sit. And said the guy, the host pastor, grabbed Brother Cartwright by the shirt tail and poured on his tail. And he said, hey, I've heard you the last two nights. I heard you the last three nights. And Andrew Jackson's here and said, you need to calm it down. You need to get off that hell. Get on something a little sweeter, a little bit more sure. Hold up. Be careful now. And said, Brother Cartwright grabbed his shirt and just pulled it. And said he stood up and he looked out over the congregation. And he said, I heard that Andrew Jackson's in the house. And he said, if you're here and that be true, except you repent, you will go to hell. And said he squared his shoulders back. He just preached the gospel. He preached the peace of Jesus. He preached the power of Jesus. And he preached the promise that if you'll call, if you'll ask for forgiveness of your sins, if you will repent, call on the name of the Lord, he'll save whoever. Said after it was over, after it was all over, said that man, after he got done preaching, he was just beside us. He said, in the morning, I'm going and I'm telling them that. I'm sorry for the way that you talk like that to that man. I'm sorry for that. And said, he said, okay. And said years later, after he went on with his life, said he got down to the end, and 2 years before he died, Andrew Jackson gave his life to Jesus. And they asked him, said, "Why? What made you give your life to Jesus?" And he said it was that verse that preacher was preaching on that night. He said he didn't know, but when he told me, "Except you repent, you shall likewise go to hell." He said, "I never had a man stand up to me that way. I never had a man tell me that. I always got what I wanted the way I wanted it. I got it delivered to me the way I wanted it." He said, "But that night when that man told that, it pierced my heart right down the middle." And he said, "What was that verse he was preaching?" If you'll turn with me tonight to Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 36. Just preaching Jesus. Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 36. He said after he told that, he went into preaching, and it's recorded that he preached, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world?" Cornelius was a devout man. Cornelius was a man that prayed and feared God, sent alms up. And the angel said, "Hey, your alms has come up before God." But Cornelius was a lost man. If you go back and read 10, he was over the Italian band of soldiers. He had 6,000 soldiers under him. He told them where to go, what to do, and how to do it. He was in authority, but he didn't have the authority on his life. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his family soul?" No, no. What would it profit, Brother BJ, if I won everybody in Lamar County and lost my own soul, Brother Roy? What would it profit if this church was full and I was leading people to Jesus and lost my own soul? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost? See, a lot of times you'll say lost his soul. Ain't what I say, Brother Eric. So what would it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Tonight, I don't know about you, but I thank God for the Bible tonight, how it gets in my face, how the Holy Ghost gets in my face. That old nitpicker, man, he'll pick me to death. He won't let me do some things that I want to do sometimes, but he'll nitpick me because the peace of God passes all understanding. I want the peace of God on my life, not the wrath. Can I get amen? I want the power of God on my life, not against my life. And I want the promise of God on my life and not the promise of God, what he tells me will happen if I don't. People said, listen, Jesus preached. He didn't play. He preached when he preached. He didn't play. And right there he says, For what shall it profit a man? That's Jesus written in red. If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Tonight I ask you a question. What have you done with the gospel? Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. I thank you tonight, Father God, that peace, we may go through all kind of things in life. And I don't know what these folks will face tomorrow. I don't even know what I'm going to face. Father, I may not even make it to tomorrow. But that's when the peace kicks in. If 1201 don't come tonight, and I leave my wife and kids behind, Father, I'm not just talking out of tongue. I'm not talking out of turn. I have a peace that I know that gospel's coming to my life. Jesus has saved my soul from a devil's hell. Lord, that gives me a peace and that gives me power to go to the next. Because my promise don't rely on what I do, but it relies in the finished work on the cross of Calvary. Lord, I pray tonight that just as Peter preached the gospel to Cornelius, that this gospel was preached tonight. And I pray tonight that you bless these people tonight in a mighty way. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. You are dismissed.